the block, I can eat like a guy. See,
you see, ay.
1, 2, 3, 용기가 생겼지. 이미 아는 니는 채 고개를 돌려 천천히 여기. You see,
여기 보.
FM.
WMFL.
Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
This is Joe.
This is V.
And we're so happy to have you here this morning.
With us.
Yay.
We're hanging out, listening to Nostalgia Version 1 by Weekend. Been in a 90s mood lately.
I can match that vibe.
Yes, you can. I know you can.
Okay, well, we'll let you hear it out.
I can't wait for the rest of the show. I feel like it's going to be really good because we haven't had our show in a minute, so we've just been saving up all the good songs.
I agree.
But if I can save you any time. What you gonna do when you get out of jail? 반도로 시키긴 들어와, 야.
Listening to
Genius of Love by Tom Tom Club.
And before that, you heard Funnel of Love.
Oh, look at that. By Wanda Jackson. That was
Genius
on purpose.
Genius of Love, Funnel of Love. Funnel of Love by Wanda Jackson. One of my favorite songs of the week, I think.
I love that.
Anyways, we're going to continue. And after this, we're going to hear No Rain by... Oh my god, my voice. So sorry. No Rain by Blind Melon. So...
anyone out there is interested, I highly recommend going and looking at the album cover for this one.
Okay, well, enjoy.
Point of view, you think that I'm insane. not sane. It's not sane. Thank you.
time to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. Into a crisis sometimes when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out what's in my head. And I am feeling a little peculiar. Into a time to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination.
You just heard the most iconic 90s song. No, that's, I'm sorry, that's a really big claim. One of the most iconic 90s songs of all time, if you ask me. What's Up by Four Non-Blondes.
It's not the most audacious claim. I think it's pretty solid.
I mean, I don't want to say, like, the most, because I'm sure that I could be proven wrong.
It's certainly up there.
It's certainly up there. And then before that, what did we hear?
It was I Was a Stranger by Smog.
Another 90s song.
We love it.
And then next, we're going to hear a little bit of an earlier song.
I didn't realize you're looking at the release date right now.
Well, I thought we were going for the 90s vibe. Yeah, like, I was matching the 90s vibe, and now you're just throwing
in
some 80s.
I've into the 80s, I'm sorry. But I can't help myself because this song is so, so good. And you will understand why I'm playing it. It's Save It For Later by The English Beat.
Falling down, I'm standing up the morning after. situations get fucked up and turned around sooner or later. I could be another fool or an exception to the rule. You tell me the morning after. Crooked spin can't come to rest. I'm damaged bad at best. She'll decide what she wants. I'll probably be the last to know. No one says until it shows. See how it is. They want you or they don't. Say
on this lovely girl. Of course to me she mean all the world. But then she like another guy. I fall down dead, she never see the tears I cry. Said please, please, please do not go. If I told her that I felt this way, you know, might make a turn either way. So all I can do is patiently pray, say please, please, please do not go. Do not.
Love Me Now by
no.
The Breeders. Oh.
Sorry.
Preceded by Please Do Not Go, Violent Femmes, Say Yes,
by Elliot Smith.
And what a desperate string of songs.
Seriously.
Someone's down bad. Anyways,
okay, so as you know, guys, the show is called Songs with Words, and this semester, I was in a radio storytelling podcast class, and I created a little sound piece for my final. It's 12 minutes long. It's a story, a fictional soundscape story, if I do say so myself, and I thought, why not use this as our words today?
I just love this idea. Thank you, Joe, for thinking of it. And thank you for being the creator of this project that I have yet to hear. So,
you know, if you're just tuning in now, turn the volume up, settle in.
Sit by the fire with a warm drink.
Yeah. And listen up.
Enjoy.
Sorry, wait. She said wait.
Do you want to tell us anything about it?
Oh,
like the
maybe,
title,
yeah,
maybe?
Okay. No.
Or I anything?
Okay. It says the title in it. This is a short story that
they can't
I wrote.
Read it.
No, it says the title. Like, the title. Oh, my God.
Okay, got it.
This is just a short story that I wrote, fictional short story. And then it just has kind of like a soundscape behind it. You know, it's called Voice. It's about voice and audio and I have no idea, guys.
I'm excited. I had the absolute privilege of helping to edit this piece on multiple accounts.
When it was written, and now it's spoken.
When it was written, and then when it was printed.
And when it was printed, and now it's spoken.
And now it's spoken. What a journey. Okay, well, enjoy.
Hunting season. It is hunting season again, and the leaves have begun to burn my nose red. I can't remember my first hunting season, but sometimes I sneak scrapbooks from Father's closet and stare at the three pairs of bright eyes by the fireplace in the fall. I finger the worn photo, soft like it had been handled 1,000 times, and wondered if Father still looked too. I'd catch glimpses of cracked smiles with unstained teeth inside them, Father's hand wrapped around a rifle lovingly. Father doesn't talk about those days, but he still oils the rifle in long, swift strokes, his back hunched with invisible weight. Sometime during my second hunting season, teeth poked through my pink gums. I tried for the first time the red meat Father had brought home in his pickup. It took 10 minutes to suck all the juice out of it, but it would be another year before I could swallow the tough tissue that was left. 3 sets of laughter filled the room up to a leaking point. My third hunting season was marked by a pair of too tight camo pants that I refused to take off. I would be ready when it was my turn to ride shotgun, sitting upright in the pickup truck as Father taught me to be a son. I would wake at dawn to watch the cloud of dirt disappear behind Father's truck and stay frozen for hours until he returned. That year I dressed up in red velvet at Christmas and wore tiaras at Halloween. In my fourth hunting season, I remember too much yelling. I would hide under my soft yellow sheets and tell stories of the woodland creatures Father spent his time with. I was always their prince and Father their king. Father spent more time than past years in the towering woods, but he never came home with blood on his denim or antlers in hand. That season, 2 meatless meals lay on the table that used to fit 3. I spent my 5th hunting season with a wrinkled woman I didn't know. She said she was my grandmother, but her hands were so cold that I didn't believe her. She kept 4 rifles locked in a glass cabinet and never took them out. But sometimes I would find her kneeling next to them like she was praying at an altar. She cooked greens until they blackened and frowned at my trucks and toy soldiers. She liked to grip my bony shoulders and whisper that Father was a sinner whose path I should be careful not to follow. I thought she was weak and wretched. I spent my 6th hunting season mostly alone. I returned to Father and never felt so lucky. Boxes of dresses and warm handmade quilts disappeared slowly from rooms, and nothing replaced them. I learned how to open a can of soup with a multi-tool blade and how to brush my hair back so that it looked short instead of long. Father seemed to find it hard to look at me. I did enough talking for the both of us. During the 7th hunting season, I cut my hair with a pocket knife to match Father's. It hung longer on one side, but I had never felt more handsome. I threw armfuls of pink into the trash cans outside. Father made me dinner and tousled my hair. We sat on either side of a 2-long table where I thought hard about what to say to make him laugh. His eyes and mouth hung blank like a badly timed photograph. Father moved his meat from side to side on the cracked plate and never took a bite. But he made up for it by doubling the golden liquid that made him chuckle at the wrong time. My 8th hunting season was the coldest one yet. The food, the house, Father. That was a year of watching. The only warmth was the heat in the bench seat truck, with Father at the wheel. We would drive around for hours in perfect silence, and I would watch him tap 2 fingers on the dashboard. He brought me hunting 3 times that year. I huddled behind him and flinched at the sound of the gun, but mostly at the squeaking of swallows as they flew from the trees. I hated those mornings in the forest,
so biting that my tears would join the snot running down my chin. But I kept quiet and hoped never to hear anything as loud as that rusted rifle again. In my 9th hunting season, Father let me become a son. I became a boy when Father took his hands away from mine and let me pull the trigger with my own shaking fingers. I put a bullet through the belly of a fawn whose spotted fur hit the dirt and blood pooled around its head. I didn't feel guilty or sad, but when his mother bounded out from the bush to mourn her fallen son, I think I was jealous. Father put a bullet through her belly and they lay together, and I was jealous. In my 10th hunting season, I started school. My classmates stared but never spoke to me. They whispered about my boyhood and my torn camo pants. I stared back at their smoothed out faces and uncracked smiles and wondered if they hunted too. Green and brown to class, because that's how Father showed me to blend in. Sometimes I would forget and wipe dirty, oily hands onto my homework and desk. I made a friend in my 11th hunting season, a girl named Emma. She sat behind me in class and pulled at my short hair. Emma liked that I looked like a boy and talked like a boy, but that I knew how to braid hair and liked to play with dolls. Emma kissed me on the monkey bars, and the teacher made us sit on different sides of the classroom. Later that day, she talked to our parents in squawky, hushed voices. Father laughed and said that it was natural for girls and boys at this age. The other adults glanced at him like he was foolish. His breath smelled sour, and I was embarrassed when he tripped walking out of the classroom. In my 12th hunting season, Father stopped going to work. Instead, he would wake up at 2 in the morning and stumble out to the truck. He would drive into the woods, staying hidden behind the bushes till the sun rose to its peak in the sky. He would come home to sleep, waking up to repeat his practice. Father didn't eat much that year, only when he claimed a prize from the forest, that he seemed to have the energy to fork food into his mouth. The food in the cabinet slowly disappeared, and I never dared question it. As he withered away, I did too. Like father, like son. The 13th hunting season was filled with change, the bad kind. Hair grew in all sorts of places, and other things grew too. It was harder to hide my skin in school and even harder at home. I hated showering, hated looking down at the unfamiliar body. Instead, I would take a wet cloth to each part of my body, redressing the others as I went. Father said I was a man now, and he bought me a gun for my birthday. It was long and glossy and cool to the touch. When I held it, it seemed to drag my arms down as if to say, "You aren't ready." In my 14th hunting season, I started high school. I spent more and more time out of the house, walking for miles through the beaten-down paths of the woods. Sometimes Emma would join me. She talked about her friends and all the boys they kissed. I found it hard to listen, but it felt nice to be in someone else's presence. She never needed me to say much, just a smile when she glanced at me expectantly. Teachers started to notice the gauntness in my face, stopping me after class to ask if I was okay. I would look at them with apprehension and slink through the doorway. The lack of food kept a lot of bodily monsters at bay. When I would return home, Father was rarely conscious, and when he was angry. He would yell her name at me, an accusation of belonging. The 15th hunting season brought me and Father closer. He needed me, and he began to realize it. The year had turned his anger into sadness. Instead of screaming when I entered the door, I was greeted by whimpers leaking out from behind his closed door. I began to bring home groceries myself now that I could drive, heating up soups and placing them near his door. When the moaning would become too much, I would creep through and sit near the bed. On my 15th birthday, Father left the keys to his rusted truck on my door handle. He had yet to hunt this season. I pulled the shiny gun from my closet and placed it back in the pickup. Fingers tapping on the wheel, I disappeared into the woods. In my 16th hunting season, Father again faded into a world completely separate from mine. I spent most of my time driving up and down the long dirt roads that stretch through our town, getting home long after Father had passed out on the couch. Emma and I had gotten closer. She sat by my side in the pickup and turned the music up to sing aloud. On the first night of snow, we turned at the driveway and saw a figure on the bent roof of the house. I jumped out before the truck wheels stopped turning. Father stood on the roof, one leg up like a stork. He cocked his head back and forth, slowly, and said, "When I fly, no one will shoot me down." Father screamed that he was not scared of the bullets. He would be fast enough, strong enough to elude them. Emma cried in my arms that night. She had been so scared. It is now my 17th hunting season. Father's health in mind and body has declined rapidly. I sit next to his bed most nights. The air is dry and cool, but nauseating nonetheless. For the last few months, I have only been able to fall asleep when I hear his strained breath. Father will talk in his sleep, mumbling about the woods, about Mother. A hunting season comes to a close. The colder it gets, the more restless Father has gotten. I am sitting next to the tangled sheets of his bed. I'm almost invisible beneath them. Father begins to whisper over and over, "My boy, my boy, my boy." I want to scream, but nothing comes out. Instead, I squeeze his bone-filled hand so hard I think it might break, and I don't stop. Hunting season.
Sorry, guys, you got like a good second of the beginning again.
Thank you, Joe, for that beautiful piece.
Yeah, thanks.
And thank you, everyone, for listening today. This is actually my last show of the semester. Sorry.
I think I'll probably be back.
Okay, good. I'll be listening. But we'll miss you. I'll miss you.
And I'll see you again.
Everybody enjoy this chilly Monday. Wow, it's Monday. And yeah, this has been Songs with Words. And you're listening to
91.5
FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We'll play you out with some Bob Dylan.
Here it goes.
Goodbye.
Bye. Number one.
Alberta, what's on your mind? Alberta, what's on your mind? All of the time, Alberta, what's on your mind? Alberta, don't you treat me unkind. Alberta, don't you treat me unkind. Oh, my heart is sad, 'cause I want you so bad. Alberta, don't you treat me unkind. Alberta,